Hey, Chris Manning here from Locked On Cavs. Coming up in the day show, Evan and I are just going to kind of weave our way sort of organically through everything going on with the NBA's return and how the Cavs are not involved in that. There's obviously a lot of angles to this. We're going to talk through them as best as we sort of understand them now. And later this week, we'll have some other stuff. And again, our new, next book club is going to come up soon, so check that out. Get the book Vintage Cavs. Ideally, you know, support a local bookseller if you can, but at least just get the book or audiobook and dive into that with us. But again, this is just going to be our kind of new reality. We have some other theme weeks coming up and a whole bunch of other things, but it's going to be a fun ride. I think, you know, we'll obviously get back to basketball and Cavs basketball specifically at some point. We have some weeks, kind of theme weeks planned, if you're the sort as well, that we'll maybe tease in this episode a little bit, but that's going to just be our next reality as we kind of get back to the NBA a little bit. But again, today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. And now, here's Evan and I right after this.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily Cleveland Cavaliers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Cleveland Cavaliers select Darius Garland from Vanderbilt University.
My. It's called the Kevin Love Show.
Irving, he's gone. Xbox at him today at the cue.
On the blow block.
He put him in cement boots. Colin Sexton for two.
The playoff! Away goes! Locked up! Playoff winner!
Cleveland! This is for you!
Evan, what's up, buddy? I'm just going to ask you a general kind of just, I want a quick answer on this because we don't need to turn into Lockdown Run the Jewels, but favorite track on Run the Jewels 4?
Walking in the Snow, without a doubt.
Yep. Yeah. First time through for me was E.T. versus Goonies, or Goonies versus E.T., whichever one I'm mixing up in my head. I think Just with Pharrell Williams is also just incredible. But I think it's Walking in the Snow. That killer Mike verse on that song could have been recorded this week.
And that's the thing. They recorded it in November of 2019. And when you listen to it, it's just as topical to today's current events, which is really sad when you think about the grand state of our country as a whole. But let me ask you this. Are you a big Run the Jewels guy? Like, yeah. Overall?
Yeah, I am.
So am I. If you had to rank the projects, what would you say, what would you rank 4 at, and what is your favorite?
4 is not my, 4 is my favorite.
Oh.
I would go 4, 2, 3, 1.
I'd go 2, 3, 4, 1. Run the Jewels 2. Those first 4 tracks hit so hard. When Killer Mike goes, "I'm about to bang this shit the fuck out," like, I knew it was gonna be a good time, and then like it just kept hitting and hitting and hitting and hitting, and I'm like, I gotta smoke a cigarette after this from just like the hype I was getting. But no, Run the Jewels 4 is really good, and I think a lot of the stuff that they're doing in the community, I mean, Killer Mike is a huge advocate in the African-American community. Just a lot of stuff they're doing with this album as well is awesome. And without a doubt, I didn't hesitate. I bought this thing on vinyl as soon as I listened to it. So it should be a good one to add to my collection.
Yes, I think 4 for me, I'm a little bit of the prisoner of the moment on this, but I think just that album feels like the album that will best encapsulate 2020 for me.
Oh, yeah, no. This album... This is America by Childish Gambino, and then Fuck the Police by NWA are going to be the most played songs in the summer of 2020 and possibly for the remainder of 2020.
Yeah, I would also say if you want to include 2 other projects, there's some other albums looking forward to. Women in Music Part 3 by Haim with the PTA album cover shoot, which I'm very looking forward to. They freaking rock. Looking for the Polo G album that came out a couple weeks ago is also very timely. Alfredo, I think, is unfortunately just going to get swept under a little bit just because of Run the Jewels 4, but that Freddie Gibbs album is great. There's a bunch of stuff.
Alfredo's a really good album, too. I really enjoy listening to that. And yeah, no, Run the Jewels 4 is going to steal the summer. I mean, every time, it was a surprise, too. It was a surprise drop. So, yeah. Like, every time they drop an album, it's a big deal. And I do think Run the Jewels 2 is my favorite album of all time. After going back and listening to it again, after I listened to 4, I'm just like, I love this album so much from like beginning to end, wire to wire. I can enjoy the entire thing.
one was like a good little tasting, and then four is, or two is just like they, like the algorithm has been like figured out, and then I think four is just like so prescient in so many ways. Okay, we'll talk about Run the Jewels more off air and everything like that. But Evan, the NBA obviously coming back. We've touched a little bit on where we sort of think the stands, why the Cavs are turning in and everything like that on last week's shows. But I want to just ask you, when you think about where the Cavs are at now, what do you think are just the biggest challenges for them during this? I think there's just some sort of outlines of some stuff. I don't quite understand what those look like yet in terms of what they're allowed to do and what they aren't. I think there are probably for them some benefits of kind of having continuity now in terms of their roster in a lot of ways. I think that's going to be something that will really help them come the fall. But what do you just envision some of the challenges for this team, and then until they come back in December 1st or whatever it is, what do you think the challenges for them are, the main challenges for them are going to be?
Well, I laid it out with Forbes. You laid it out with Fear the Sword. And shout out to Kelsey Russo for laying it out with The Athletic. There's a lot of hurdles that a rebuilding team like Cleveland that's kind of in flux because of the roster, the way it's constructed. A lot of pieces could be playoff pieces. Kevin Love, Andre Drummond, Tristan Thompson. I mean, maybe Larry Nance as well. But Larry Nance meshes a little bit better with their young core. But yeah, that's my biggest concern, is the fact that they need this continuity and they need this time to help develop their young players and develop familiarity still, which is hard to believe that like Darius Garland still can't get it going, and Kevin Porter Jr. starting to like build upon and capitalize those flashes of potential. And I mean, Colin Sexton's Colin Sexton, but you need them to have a certain comfort level and rapport with especially Andre Drummond, who's going to be here likely till the trade deadline of next year, and maybe even longer, depending on how hard the salary cap gets hit from all of this. But that's the biggest thing for me. And then that goes hand in hand with the fact that like JB Bickerstaff has only coached the team for 11 games so far, and he was getting his fingerprints on just some of the weirdness and the funkiness and things like with the three big lineup and point forward Kevin Porter Jr. and just some other things they were doing, like simplifying the offense and the defense. Like, stuff was starting to work and starting to click for the Cavs. And one person in the organization told me that for them, at least, this pandemic hit at like the worst possible time for them, just in terms of development of this roster long term. And I think that's kind of where I'm at. And without any idea, like the NBA could bring back like mini camps or let the Cavs run like an earlier training camp or something, or like an impromptu end of season camp and at Cleveland Clinic Courts in Independence, and we won't get invited to the Zoom calls afterwards. But like they could do something like that to maybe help soften the blow of what the Cavs are about to go through. But they're gonna have a solid eight nine months without actual basketball play, because I mean camps and stuff would start technically in November and everything. But yeah, no, that's a concerning hurdle that the Cavs have to go through, and like that's my biggest concern right now, especially if we don't have any idea of what's going to happen. That's just kind of where I'm at. What about you?
I think that's right. I think, you know, obviously there are certain things that I think you hope happen between now and next year. And anyway, I think like Darius Garland developing his frame a little bit is a thing. I think, you know, there's been a lot of talk about how Kevin Porter Jr. was in Cleveland during the beginning of this and kind of how that is going to impact him. I think that's continuing to be a big thing. I think you're really just trying, you want on-court. I think the on-court integration of stuff is just so key. And I think you, even if it was six more games or something like that, like, that would have been big. I know I was
skeptical. Six more games and the Cavs won't have.
Right. And I think I was very skeptical that the Andre Drummond thing was going to figure itself out this season, even if it hadn't been suspended by the ongoing global pandemic. But I think if you're thinking about this, for me, I just think you just need the time. And I think you're just losing that in some ways. I don't know. Like, it's going to be a real test of everyone that is going to be involved. It's assistant coaches, it is JB Bickerstaff, it is Kobe Altman and the whole front office, to like really kind of keep this piece together when guys are not really together. Like, I'd imagine at some point Kevin's probably going to go back to somewhere that isn't Cleveland. I don't know if that's like New York where he spent last summer, but like, will he go to LA? Will he go somewhere else? Will, you know, Andre's been in Miami. I don't anticipate he's gonna like come back to the market readily. You know, Colin's been in Atlanta. Like, now that there's no season, like, what's the rush for him to come back right now? Like, there's just a lot of logistical issues. Darius obviously been in Nashville. He's done, from all I've heard, some really good training down there. He's been training with Robert Covington, and at least the highlight tapes I've seen have been really impressive. But there's just a lot of logistical issues, and some of the infrastructure that maybe some of these guys are training with other players that they're in their market or whatever. Some of those guys, like Robert Covington, is going to be going back to the Houston Rockets to try and win a title. here pretty soon. There's just going to be some challenges there. And then obviously, you know, you have, we don't know what draft workouts are going to look like. There's just everything in terms of planning your cohesive team for next season and trying to take a level up is just, I think, a lot harder. And we'll talk more about this after the break, but Evan, you know what might help the Cavs get through this is a Built Bar. Built Bars, what a segue, my mate. Built Bars are the protein bar that taste like a candy bar. They come in 16 amazing flavors, including chocolate and nut flavors. There's eight of those, and then eight chocolate/nut-free flavors. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious guy, and Evan is one of those guys.
Yeah, I definitely am one of those guys, and I've been dabbling with new flavors lately, and I keep shouting out a bunch of different ones, but the hazelnut cheesecake one, not that bad. It, you know, chocolate and hazelnut goes hand in hand together, so it's already a sweet treat. Then you have that cheesecake factor to add a little bit more creaminess and maybe a little bit more of that sweetness that you're looking for, and it just really pushes that overall healthy candy bar experience that really tricks the mind and body to think, like, I'm having a dessert right now for an actual meal. Or for a pre-workout snack or a post-workout snack, and surprise, surprise, body, I'm actually consuming high protein, low calorie, low sugar, and low carb, and it just works out great. And yeah, no, big fan of the product, and big shout out to Built Bar. Thank you for being our continuous sponsor. Cannot be more than happy to continue talking about how great your product is.
Yeah, they're fantastic. I mean, you have flavors like peanut butter brownie that have 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 grams of net carbs. And again, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your first order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at BuiltBar.com. All right, quick break here. We'll be back, talk more about this and the Cavs' ongoing situation right after this. Okay, Evan, you talked about this when we were setting up. There's the chance the NBA could have, like, some mini camps, I think, in the fall. Is kind of one of the possibilities out there. I will just keep admitting that I am, like, especially on the weekend when I'm already, like, a little more disconnected from being on a computer all day, I'm not using Twitter right now. It's just certainly...
it's for the best.
...is impacting me a little bit. I'm good. Like, I'm mentally actually better now, but it's just a little... I'm catching up on some things and having to kind of play catch up and learn from you and kind of learn from other people when they text me and ask me stuff. Or if I've actually had a couple instances where I've been talking to people... in different camps of players, and they've kind of informed me on some stuff that wasn't even, like, insidery. It was just, like, something Woj reported or whatever. We're at a really interesting spot, obviously. You know, there's a lot going on with all this, but what would you – I think a mini camp for the Cavs, they could get some time and they could get everybody in there in the fall. That would be really massive to me.
Yeah, it would, and I think, you know, kind of beneficial to, again, helping J.B. Bickerstaff – he already has an established rapport with the majority of this roster. And I know you and I talked about concerns about in the last segment about the Cavs. One that I don't really have is that the Cavs are largely going to have the same roster heading into next season, plus a draft pick and Dylan Windler on the court. And so that's kind of a plus on JB's side that he already has an established rapport with a lot of these players. But, like, Andre Drummond's still a big question mark in piece. And then you're trying to figure out Darius Garland still as well. But yeah, just to jump back, yeah, no, I think letting the Cavs and letting the Delete 8, shout out to our fellow Locked On host for coming up with his name, which is a pretty good one. I think them having a little bit of a head start on teams that maybe are wrapping up the season whenever the NBA Finals does end up wrapping up, like, I think that's just a nice little, I guess, trade-off to have, the fact that it's just been a cluster of a season. The NBA is trying their best to figure things out, but yeah, no, I think a fall training camp would really be beneficial for the Cavs, especially... Well, the draft would be maybe, I don't know. It's just maybe they get to start training camp a little bit earlier than the teams made the playoffs, so the teams that made the playoffs get extra time to rest. Who knows? It's just a weird time, but I hope the Cavs do get some type of cohesiveness heading into next season, just so they're a little bit more palatable out of the gates to watch.
Yeah, I think that's 100%. Right. If you can hear, like, a motorcycle revving in my background, I apologize. There's just some jackass driving on my street, like, trying to think he's the toughest shit, driving a motorcycle with a loud engine. Like, he can bug off.
That was actually Chris riding his hog up and down.
Yeah, you know me, just like on the pod, just being like, you know what, F audio quality, I'm going to just rub my chopper up here. If you know me, that's extremely never going to happen. Extremely never going to happen.
So you're telling me you don't have, like, a cutoff leather vest and, like, sunglasses, and you don't, like, ride up and down the street to show your wife you're a bad boy? That's okay.
I haven't hit my midlife crisis yet.
Yet.
A couple years, maybe. But when I think about this, I'm looking at this Woj report from over the weekend. NBA teams left out of Orlando mulling ways to keep players active. You know, there's the joint practices idea to me is quite an interesting idea. The Cavs, per Woj, would consider doing with the Pistons. Well, I'm actually going to write. I'll have to write about this if you're the sword on Sunday night as we're recording this. But I quite like that idea. I know from in the little bit of NFL stuff I've done at Forbes, talking to players, like, even though it's not like a perfect system, I do think you get some, they do get some benefit from it. It can go badly. Like, there was the whole thing with Freddie Kitchens, like, being a psychopath about some of this stuff, you know, with what was going on. Yeah. And in those practices. But when I think about the Cavs and Pistons practicing and just getting a chance to play against other guys, I think that's potentially quite helpful. I quite like that. I think that could be a really useful thing for them. And if you can find a way to do it safely, and you know, now between now and August is such a long time. I cannot exactly tell you like what anything is going to look like, right? Like there's no way for us to know what any of this is really going to look like in terms of the coronavirus come then. But in principle, if it can be done safely, I like the idea.
Yeah, I agree. I'm sending you messages in our Zoom chat while you're talking just to remind you that Woj still has me blocked and I don't know why. He's like, I'm reading a report from Adrian Wojnarowski. I'm like, yeah, it must be nice, Chris. But regional camps.
It's not like you're blocked from his ESPN.
He's blocked from my heart, per sources. Shams for life. Like, Shams took a pay cut, but I'll still support him and keep my athletic subscription. But yeah, regional mini camps make a lot of sense, and obviously the Pistons are a logical team to pair up with. But yeah, like you said, as long as they do it safe, that's just the key thing with me for this here. Like, I know it's so weird to think because white supremacy and racism are obviously in the front of everyone's minds, in the front of the news cycle right now in the United States, but there's still a global pandemic going on top of this, which is just crazy to think how bad a year 2020 has been so far. Just holding out hope for Yellowstone to explode. Chris, we would have, I believe, 3 to 5 millimeters of ash in the air, and that's enough to destroy all of Ohio's infrastructure. Just a fun fact.
Yes.
To put the fear of God in your heart. But, yeah, no, teaming up with Detroit would be a lot of fun, and I think it's just beneficial. And you know, maybe you could just, it's better than having to practice against the same guys every single day, day in and day out. And granted, Detroit's in a little bit of a similar situation, and a little awkward for Andre at least, but maybe I don't know if John Henson will be back in Detroit or if Brandon Knight will be back again in Detroit. It'd be nice to have a training camp with a team that's in a similar place as Cleveland, because at least it's not like the Cavs are scrimmaging against the Lakers and just the Lakers are barely trying and like the Cavs can barely put anything together. Like, you can actually have two legitimate scrimmages between these squads just in terms of comparable talent and team and skill level, so that's good. And
and especially thing if you could include the G League guys in it, like get the Canton Charge involved. Oh, yeah. Get the Grand Rapids Drive involved.
Yeah, no, I think this is beneficial for all parties involved. If you have like, if it's a lot like the NFL preseason where well, the NBA does the same thing with preseason rosters, but you kind of merge a lot of these at least fringe guys, quote-unquote fringe guys for Canton, if you're talking with the Cavs, and maybe who could crack the rotation or get call-ups, like you have them as part of their serious training camp rotation, and then you kind of just do like third, like you can do two, like an A squad and a B squad, and then just intermingle scrimmages and stuff and just kind of figure out what you do and don't have. And it could be fun. It could work. And I don't know, having Dan Gilbert as an owner going up against the Detroit team, it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah. I think the other thing to think about here is just in terms of the, we'll learn more about this as we come forward. And I think we're going to try to do a crossover episode with another Locked On show that has just is kind of in the wilderness right now. And let's just touch on this real briefly here. The idea of there being no draft combine is like another like real big wrinkle in all of this, and just sort of what the workouts look like and stuff. It makes a crapshoot draft potentially even crazier, and I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, no, it really does. You really have to hope that it's going to be based off tape and footage and stuff. And this might be the draft where you see a lot of older, maybe more experienced players who have just a bigger body of work and a bigger foundation. Some teams might be a lot more comfortable taking them, but you and I can both at least confirm that based on what Chris Fedor has said, that when he shared that, like, James Wiseman, Anthony Edwards, and LaMelo Ball are the top three on the Cavs big board. And then after that, it's, like, Isaac Okoro, Onyeka Okongwu, and, like, Denny Avdija, and players like that, who's, like, the tier below if you're outside of the top three for Cleveland. Like, you and I can both confirm LaMelo Ball's on the Cavs, like, number one, really high on the Cavs big board. And if you think about it this way, the Cavs are still doing their due diligence on players like LaMelo, like you and I have heard. They're calling coaches, and both in Australia and at the Spire Academy, and just figuring out, like, what kind of player he was, and then, like, getting a good background intel on him. So, like, you can still do work like that, but not being able to have in-person workouts is definitely concerning, because anything can happen, and you're just kind of going off game footage at this point, just hoping that, like, okay, this guy isn't hurt that we're drafting, or we can't get our hands on this player, so it's not, like, a guarantee that he's going to be okay coming into whatever we do end up having training camp. So, a little bit wild to think about, for sure. You're definitely gambling on your future this year in the draft.
Evan, you know what could help you not gamble in your future, though? Blinkist. Tell everyone about it.
Well, Blinkist is the most useful app on my phone. It's hard to find the time to sit down and read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't work or read or work on your personal development. And Blinkist is the app that solves all this problem, and I highly recommend it. It's really unique, and it works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down into just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people, like business leaders, are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get to the main points of the book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio features, Blinkist makes it easy to finish a book during your commute, on your lunch break, or while you exercise. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library. From self-help, business, health, to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles from bestsellers lists, as well as the classic nonfiction titles you've been meaning to read but never had the time to. I like Blinkist because in less than 15 minutes, I feel like I can fast-track my path to a more intelligent, healthy, and informed me. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed, nonfiction books, all the books you want, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it free for 7 days, and save 25% off your subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
William, with that, one last break. We'll be back to just give our thoughts on the 22-14 format itself, and that's coming up right after this. All right, Evan, let's talk about it. 22 teams are going to Orlando. KD and other guys that theoretically could have come back aren't going to come back. You know, win percentage is going to set NBA standings. There's a lot of kind of things we understand. You know, there's this kind of some interesting-ish stuff with the play-in tournament, although I wish they would have gone farther. Like, if you're going to be weird, just go, like, let's go, you know? But when you think about we sort of know what this looks like. We know who the favorites are still. Like, it's Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. What are you most looking forward to when this comes back?
Have you seen, well, you're not really on social media right now because you're taking a break for all the right reasons, but have you seen pictures of, like, Kyle Lowry and Marc Gasol and, like, how fit they're looking during all of this?
I'm still on the gram. I'm still using the gram. I've seen some Marc Gasol stuff. Marc Gasol quietly still one of the best, like, six defensive players in the league, in my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I think this Raptors squad is going to shock a lot of people. If I was a betting man, I would put some money on Toronto making some noise, maybe Boston as well. Milwaukee, obviously, is the odds-on favorite to walk out of the East, but crazier things have happened because, I don't know, I thought Milwaukee was going to beat Toronto last year, even with Kawhi, and they proved me wrong pretty freaking fast. But I think it's a fun format, but like you said, if the NBA wants to get cute, and Adam Silver really likes to get cute and listen to what people are saying online, whether it's at The Ringer or through ESPN or Twitter itself, why not go all in, do this group stage format, experiment with it? You have this kind of liberty with the fact that you're restarting the season to kind of experiment and try these things. Playing at a neutral site as well is definitely an interesting thing as well. Like, maybe that's something the NBA considers going forward, like the team that hosts the All-Star game, maybe the team the following year hosts the NBA Finals or something in like a best of seven format, which would be kind of neat because they're largely doing every other day, I believe, for the NBA Finals, which is workable at a neutral site location if you're able to like block out 14 days if it goes for 7 days, and that works as well. But I'm kind of waiting to see what I get when this kind of starts rolling out, but we're going to have continuous basketball from, I don't know, let's say noon till 10 o'clock every night, and it's going to be like that to wrap up the regular season and the playoffs get rolling, and it's going to be a lot of interesting stuff in the formats and changes and everything, but I don't know, kind of taking the wait-and-see approach at this point, but I think the NBA definitely could have gotten weirder with it, but they're just kind of trying to maybe meet a middle ground so it doesn't like intimidate and turn off the casual viewer as well.
Yeah, I'll be curious. I think you got to not, like, I hope it isn't, like, weird times, because I think that could really throw some guys off in terms of, like, game schedules and stuff. I understand to get through the regular season, but I think you got to, like, I mean, selfishly, because, like, all of us are still working, even if I'm at home, like, I would like to be able to watch, so, like, let's not, like, jam it all into weird times.
Yeah.
Here's the couple storylines I want to see how it plays out. Number one, the Mavericks are going to be one of the most interesting teams for me in this because, number one, Luka Doncic, like, went back to Slovenia.
Yeah.
He'll be back, but, like, what kind of shape is he in, number one? And number two, Dallas, I didn't realize this until I was listening to Zach Lowe talk about this, but they were sixth in net rating, and they're, like, much lower in the West standings than, like, that would indicate. But they're if you go on net rating alone, that would place them as the sixth best team in the league. It's not the way I would do that. That's like a false kind of equivalent. It's one part of your sort of story, but they're in like this tier where it's like Milwaukee's at 10.7. The Lakers, Clippers, Raptors, Celtics, and Mavs are all between 5.8 and 7.1. And then there's a big drop off the 7 where it's Houston, and then Houston's at 3.4, Utah's at 3.3, Denver's at 3.1, Miami's at 3.0. Mm-hmm. Dallas is like, based on that, like kind of a really interesting team. Luka's obviously great, and I wanted to see how they look in this. I really do wish they would have gone harder on this play-in tournament. I think it would have been more interesting that way. And look, frankly, I think the biggest unknown here, and I feel like we'd be doing a disservice not to mention this, is if someone gets coronavirus.
Yeah, that's a huge loss.
Like, what happens? Like, and, you know, it's there's different versions of that, right? Like if you want to look good, say it's the Lakers. Quinn Cook gets it, like, that sucks, and I will hope that Quinn Cook can recover, because Quinn Cook's a very nice guy, and he's got a really cool story and everything, but that's different than, like, if LeBron gets it. If LeBron gets it, like, that's absolutely devastating for the product itself, and this is something that is going to happen, like, could happen very rapidly. If you want to just look at, like, another sport that is returning, boxing has a top-ranked boxing, which is going to have a card on ESPN this week. One of their top female fighters, Michaela Mayer, was going to fight on Tuesday, and she announced like Sunday that she tested positive for coronavirus and is now quarantining. So like, these things are just gonna like kind of pop up, and they're gonna be quote unquote asymptomatic, and there's just a lot of questions about this, and like the people coming in and out, like there are just so many like just public health issues that I cannot separate from this. Like, I cannot wait to watch it. I cannot wait to discuss it. You know, I'll be the Grizzlies, as I write about them at Forbes, will be giving me something to write about. I'm sure, you know, you and I will break down some of the action on this podcast. But man, oh man, there are just like some real health concerns that I just think they like. I obviously understand why they're coming back. I get the kind of society we live in, but like, I need to see how it happens. But for me, I Dallas is probably the team I'm most interested in seeing kind of how they come back and kind of what they look like. Obviously, New Orleans and Zion as well, and Memphis. I think those are kind of the teams. It's real, and honestly, Philly just never makes sense to me. But they're gonna have Ben Simmons in and arrested, ideally in shape, Joel Embiid. That's at least interesting too.
Hey, apparently Nikola Jokic has a beach body, according to the Nuggets general manager.
Okay, but what does that mean for Nikola Jokic? Is that like he one beer like gut, me, but not like three like beer an gut? NBA
player, I don't know.
Like, is he gonna have muscle definition now?
Probably not.
Like, no. What does that mean?
Maybe he doesn't look like he needs to take a bunch of allergy medication and a nap or something, and maybe eat a salad, as Justin Rowan so eloquently puts it. But the Mavericks make a lot of sense as an interesting team, but I'm really sticking with the Raptors. Just like, I really like what Toronto's done, and the fact that even though they lost Kawhi, they're still like a very, very, very good team, and maybe they're not good enough to take it all the way. Like, I don't think they could take the Clippers and the Lakers if, for God willing, some reason they made the NBA Finals. Like, I think the star power the Lakers and Clippers have, I mean, granted, Paul George turns into a pumpkin in the playoffs, so we'll see what happens there. But there's a lot of interesting players and a lot of interesting components as well, and I'm just kind of interested to see how the, at least the eighth seed in the West plays out, because it could be Memphis, it could be New Orleans, it could be Portland. I mean, Sacramento and San Antonio, thanks for coming. Maybe they're just trying to do it to help keep Pop's legacy intact, for the fact that the Spurs, for the first time, and I believe in my life, aren't going to win 50 games, which is weird to think. But it's just an interesting dynamic that's definitely going into this. But, like, you know, that's the other big thing as well. Like, it makes me pause and think, like, is this really worth it if a player catches coronavirus, especially a notorious one? Like, if it's LeBron, or if it's Kawhi, or if it's Giannis, or if it's just, like, one of these players that are the faces of the league. That's a huge loss on the NBA's part, and they deserve any and all public criticism, because then it's just going to, like, look like they were kind of rushing back to play basketball to help, you know, salvage all the money that this league is hemorrhaging, and the fact that they aren't playing games right now, and it's just, I don't know. I have a lot of legitimate concerns, man. But we'll see what happens. I am excited to have content to actually chew on and talk about again. It's a bummer the Cavs won't be involved, but I understand why. But yeah, basketball will be back in a little bit less than 2 months at this point. We are 1 month, 24 days. I don't know. June has 30 days in it, so who knows? Either way, it's going to be a fun time, hopefully, and just as long as they do it safe and do it right, I won't have many complaints about it. But yeah, no, the fact that there's still an ongoing global pandemic could shut this thing down permanently if it actually gets bad enough.
I'm going to put you on the spot here. Just give me two teams that you think, give me your finals, just way too early finals prediction right now.
The lazy answer is Lakers Bucks, and I'll stick with that because those are the two best teams in the league, and I think they are on a collision course for Giannis challenging LeBron's throne finally for face of the league. Like, Steph nipped at LeBron's heels when he was in Cleveland, but I think Giannis has a legitimate shot to take this Bucks team and push them over the edge and become the face of the league going forward, which wouldn't it be something for, like, Giannis and Luka and other international players to be the face of this league instead of American-born players going forward?
Yeah, it certainly would be. I think I agree. I think I think the four teams that I'm most sure that are going to be right in it are the Lakers, the Bucks, the Celtics, and the Clippers. Those are the four I feel the best about.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I don't know. I like how the Nuggets are constructed, but I don't think they're going to go very far again. Oklahoma City's a fun story. I don't think they're going very far.
And I learned today they were starting a G League player for the last 21 games.
Huh, today I learned I didn't know that either. I just know Chris Paul, for some reason, ended up, like, having a career renaissance, and that was super weird to think, because I remember when he was traded to OKC, everybody thought, like, okay, just pack it up, the Thunder are going to be picking, like, first or second in the draft this year, and what a fun story.
Yes.
Could have been the Cavs if Kevin Love, you know, wanted to be a leader, but whatever.
Yeah, that's very, very fair. Okay, Evan, let's get out of here. We'll be back later this week. Talk through some more things. Talk through kind of what's going on with this. We have a fan favorite tweak that we're going to be doing later in the week, so check that out. Thanks again to Built Bar for sponsoring the show. Promo code LOCKEDON to go get $10 off your first order. And if you're looking for another NBA podcast to listen to after this one, there's a whole Locked On Network. Go listen to the local shows of the teams you're interested in, including the 22 teams that are in the playoffs, and we'll certainly be diving into that here soon. But also check out Rejecting the Screen. They did do a lot of great interviews on that show. The two guys hosting that show do a great job. Check that out wherever you get your podcast. You can also tell your smart speaker, hey, smart speaker of your whatever, Alexa, whatever, play Rejecting the Screen. But that's all for today. We'll talk to you again soon, and stay safe out there. Wash your hands, wear a mask, and we'll talk soon.